Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, Composed with Love by my nephew Miles DeBastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and an assistant director, and, oh, a whole lot of other things. And she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you?
And how are you today, Cindy?
I don't know. I couldn't even log on. Like you were saying, it's the new blog talk. Why don't they leave it the old blog talk?
I don't know. Well, first I changed to this studio. Remember we used to have a different studio than the one that we're using now. You know, then they changed it over to this one, and now they're changing it again, apparently. So I had a little bit of issues locking on, too, and apparently some of the callers, you know, normally the switchboard is able to take phone numbers, for our callers prior to me logging in, and today it wouldn't allow anybody on until I was actually up and running until I prepped the board. So, it's working a little bit differently today. I don't exactly know why.
And did you, because I don't have on my spot the ability to, like, click it onto Facebook. Did you click it on so that people know we're live on?
I actually cannot click it onto Facebook because I need all of your Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, and your Twitter login information. Because as soon as I go post it to Facebook, it asks me to sign in as Cindy onto Facebook.
Well, that's really odd because I was on the phone for an hour last week trying to make sure that the Facebook and everything was up and operating.
Oh, boy.
What can I tell you?
I mean, there should be ways just to auto-log in Facebook when you log into Blog Talk Radio, but, it works like that on a number of different sites, just not this one, so...
Well, it's just one of those things. It's been one of those couple of days. Last night, I did a restaurant. I think you get my little things, and
yep.
I tell them the maximum of 15 people. And
okay.
If you need another reader, contact me. And of course, they're contacting me. That morning on texting me on my landline, which of course doesn't work.
Oh boy.
And anyway, it ended up to be 22 people last night. And
oh, wow.
So today I feel like I'm being run over by a Mack truck. So.
I believe it. But it's also that kind of week, too, Cindy. I think that with the cold weather patterns now coming in and, it's kind of like Mother Nature reminding us that, that fall really is over and it's time to prep for, the wintertime. And, I think that everybody kind of wants to go into like a little semi-hibernation when as soon as that happens. I know that Elisa and I both felt the same way this week, as did my mom and a couple of friends of mine. As soon as we saw that the cold weather hit, we were just like, oh, just throw me in a bed, put a blanket over my head, and just leave me alone for the day.
Right, exactly. And, thank God with last night, I have a PR person, Bridget, and she was just going to come just to stay a little bit and, just check out how everything's going. And she was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
We're going to have to do some, damage control here so you don't come out looking bad here when the restaurant has messed up. So she just handled everything and made it all go. And, if she hadn't been there, meanwhile, she was just coming there, have a drink, see how it is. She stayed the whole 7 hours,
each
person, and then finally the last six people, I said, we're going to have to just do a group reading. We just throw them in a group. They're going to get a group reading here. And we just made it work. But My first thought was to panic. My first thought was to panic, and thank goodness I had Bridget going, no, it'll work out. Don't worry.
It'll be okay. Don't worry about it.
It'll be fine. You're in the middle of a hurricane, but don't worry. You know, we're going to be okay. So
oh,
I was glad.
Dear.
And everybody was happy at the end of the night, so I was like, but you know how, like, with a little help from our friends, and all of my friends end up being a little bit psychic, like you, from hanging out with me. So she sort of knew I was going to need her. Don't you think that's odd? She said, I just knew it.
No, you know what? Sometimes, you know, that's what you manifest, though, Cindy. It's like, you know, you kind of, you know, something in the back of your subconscious had said that, you know, you might need a little bit of help tonight. And, you know, she showed up to save the day.
And she did, and that's why I said, when I believe in the laws of attraction, and I believe if we're on the right path, and the universe really knows when people are working hard and doing the best, and when the mistakes are not really their mistakes, I think the universe steps in to help. I mean, that's how I feel.
Absolutely.
I just feel somehow, and, you know, to read that many people in a row is a really hard thing to do. And all of a sudden, the dead just put me in a zone and said, don't worry, we've got your mind. We've totally ghosted over your mind now. You don't even have your own brain here. Just don't worry. You're on remote control. You just sit here
exactly.
And we'll do it.
So go on autopilot, you'll be fine.
When that's what happened, and it was over, I was like, ooh, okay. So today is one of those days that you pay more the second day than the day when you're actually in the middle of a crisis. Everybody knows that, right? It's the next crashing down day that we have. Well, I could see that we did get some callers.
We have
now.
A lot of callers here, but only one person wants to talk to. One person wants to talk to us right now. And, of course, I never screen the first caller. So we're just going to pop right over there to see who's waiting. And then maybe some of these other people that are sitting here lighting up my dashboard over here, maybe they'll get the courage to ask the question after you get finished reading this one. So let's see who's waiting
terrific.
For us.
Okay, terrific.
All right, we're going to go over to – actually, we're going to stay on Long Island today, Cindy. We're going to see – first number is 631, all right, and it's Suffolk County, for those of you who don't know. And just so that you know, we're speaking to you when I pick you up. Your last four digits are 7080. All right, so let's see who's waiting for us there.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm Jane.
Hi, Jane, and where are you calling from?
Long Island.
Okay, and you've been waiting to talk to us, and I know you probably have something on your mind, so why don't you just jump right in there.
Well, right now, my life seems to be at a standstill, and I'm just wondering what you might see for me career-wise and in my love life, because it's non-existent, actually.
Okay. Well, at least I always tell people there's no place worse than to be in a marriage you don't want to be in, a relationship you don't want to be in and can't get out of, where you feel really stuck. You're not stuck. You're, like, ready for anything to change on a dime tomorrow. So it's not a bad place to be with non-existent love, because it just means that everything's clear and open for when that love comes. You don't have a divorce or anything you need to end before you can let this in. So try to look at it as being a good place in terms of anything can change on a dime. And life is like that. You know, life is like that. In the past, I think you tended to pick people who, you know, weren't necessarily the most emotionally secure people. This man that's coming is not a boy. He's a man. You know, he can stand on his own 2 feet without you. But having you in his life would make it much better. It will happen pretty quickly for you, by the way. Have you kind of closed the door on on your ex and you know, sort of made peace with that?
No.
Okay, because that's part of why another door doesn't open.
Okay,
because if we have too much residual where we're sort of angry or haven't processed all the lessons that we're meant to learn in the ending of a relationship, and sometimes it's just simply not all relationships are meant to last forever. Sometimes it's, you know, kicking ourselves in the head for not seeing the writing on the wall sooner. Sometimes it's, you know, learning we can't fix people. But it seems like this one needs a little more closure. Is he the father of your children?
No, I don't
okay,
have
good.
Children.
Good, because
it's someone I've been involved with on and off for the last 4 years, And I do believe, you know, he has feelings for me, but, you know, he's that runaway type guy.
The commitment phobes. And,
yes.
you know, we call them the new masters. Okay, I can't stand it. It's a new master-slave archetype. You know, women took a lot of crap historically from men. They owned us. They made the money. We had to take it. This new breed of men, they don't even have to make any money. They just can tell us when we can come close and when we can't. And now I want you, now I don't. Don't call me, I'll call you. And I think it's gotten out of hand because the men have realized women are tolerating it and they have allowed it. And so it sort of went viral. I mean, what might have started as a handful of men pulling this as they tell, oh, yeah, you don't have to commit to them. You can come close and you could run away and then you can come back in. The women, they don't care nowadays.
I know.
It's as a sisterhood of women, I'm very adamant about not allowing this. Like from, you know, love is a, you know, something that it should be you're close from the beginning and you continue to get closer. It's not you're close for a few months and now I don't want it. And as soon as people start pulling that, whether it's a man or a woman, because women can do it too, it's the other person saying, that's not what I signed on for. This is not what I want. And it is sort of epidemic, this particular
really?
Thinking. Like, I have thousands of clients, and the number of clients that are with men who can't commit or even women who come close and then run away, it's astronomical. And yet I realize it's because everyone's allowed it. And for you, sort of closing that door, I hope you don't text or talk to him. Do you anymore?
No.
Good. Because
He has some of my things and I have some of his and we're supposed to return them.
Well,
and
what
I've
commitment
been putting
phobics,
it off and I've been dreading it.
Well, what commitment phobics do is they like you to have something of theirs because then if they feel like calling you, they got a reason. So if I were you, I would call him and tell him, you know, if you, I want my things and, you know, you come for yours and, you know, maybe we could just leave mine on your step and I'll put yours or whatever it's going to be, but get them out of there so that he realizes it's closed, that this you're not waiting around for him, you're not holding on to his things. Let him really feel that it's over. You know, what happens is commitment phobics never end anything. They never give it closure. It's always a dangling part of that maybe they're going to be back and maybe they're not. It's up to you to let him know he's lost you so that maybe he can do the necessary mourning for the end of the relationship and maybe even think, is this what I wanted to happen? Maybe I don't want it over.
Mm.
But it's really giving it closure and, you know, making space for the new man who's coming by getting rid of this other man's stuff and, you know, making that final closing, it may be hard for you. It's even, equate it to the ending of a relationship that started out as a soulmate, and this looked like it was probably that to begin with, that heart, soul, mind, body connection. Feels like a death. It's like somebody died.
Yes.
And when somebody dies, nobody wants to empty the drawers. They want to just leave all this stuff. And I can't stress enough, when anything ends, you got to get rid of the things. They're not coming back. You can keep things that you may use, but you have to, it's a symbolic letting go of the dead or of a relationship. So you might just be holding on because you want some of those things, almost having the illusion that maybe he'll walk back in. Don't give him that illusion. He can't walk back in. You know, let them fear losing you. Just because you close the door doesn't mean it's over. Sometimes people really get the message and they start realizing, I don't want to lose her. You know, and they can come back. So the sort of one foot in, one foot out that you two have isn't going to work. And since he won't allow 2 feet in because he's the big boss, then you're the one who's going to have to take some control of the situation and take 2 feet out. That's all we can do with commitment phobes. We can't make them come close, but we can let them know they're not welcome. And otherwise you're going to fall into a little bit of depression here.
Well, maybe I'm there.
Okay, and again, depression is normal at the end of a relationship. You are mourning for the death of a relationship. You're mourning for what could have been. And I'll tell you the truth. He's just not that into a higher love. The higher the love, the faster people will run because higher love demands becoming a better person, healing issues, thinking about someone besides yourself. So, you know, if he didn't care about you so much, he'd probably be here, you know, screwing the hell out of you, having sex when he felt like it and running. He doesn't want to do that because he has more feelings for you, than he might want to have, because, you know, some people just don't want to be in love. They don't want to be out of control. You're not in control of your feelings right now. You can't stop loving him. You can't stop thinking about him. You're not in control. It's not a pleasant feeling not to be in control. But it is part of what love's about. And so you don't waste your energies trying to stop loving him, but try to give it closure by giving him his things and, you know, saying it's time we shut the door and see how he responds to that. And your father has passed away, by the way?
Yes, many years.
Because your dad is saying, I can't believe these men. I just can't believe these men. And he's asking you to love yourself the way he loves you. Mm-hmm. Love yourself the way you would love a daughter if you had one. If a man pulled this nonsense on your daughter, how mad would you be?
Very.
Because your dad's furious. Mm. And he's the one that's saying you have to overcome some of your fears of loving someone, perhaps loving someone who could die on you. That's what soulmate love brings up, really, really deep, big fears. And what you're going to learn is soulmate love without commitment is pain. And, you know, pray for that soulmate who is ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And you pray to be the same. If it's this man, so be it. If it's another man, let the universe bring it forward.
I do think that if the right man came into my life somehow, I would be open for it at this point.
Good. And, again, get his stuff out of there. If you met a man tomorrow, that's just perfect. You had his stuff in your house.
Well,
not
a whole lot of it, but
yes, whatever it is, you don't really want it in there. You know, you want to make a break from it. He does look like you will be brought another soulmate. It does take a little time to bring it into alignment. Career-wise, it's probably what you can be focusing on now a little bit and figuring out where you want to be career-wise and making some changes there. And, you know, try not to say it's a bad economy and, you know, there's no work or shortage of work. There's plenty of work. Just figure out what you want to be doing, because a lot of times, and again, we say this on probably the air every show, when everything's taken out from under us, our love, we're not loving our career, everything stinks, God's saying choose again. Choose again. Choose a new career. Choose a new job. Choose a new guy. You know, it's a big world out there. And, you know, when people, you know, say they can't find anybody. We have like 3 million people on Long Island. There's a lot of people here.
Yeah,
it's not like we're living in the middle of South Dakota. So,
do you see me starting a business or anything along
those? That looks really good here for you, self-employment. And, again, nobody's telling you to quit your day job, but figure out how you could build this business. And then, you know, when it's more lucrative, walk away from your other job when this is ready. So try to start thinking what you could do for a business. You know, we talk about how in this day and age, websites make it easy to have a business. You don't need a lot of money to start one.
Right.
And think about that. But there are big, big changes in your cards, and everything is good here, by the way.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, there's nothing bad in your cards. It just doesn't, you know, I don't think at this point in your life you expect it to be starting over. We're going to live to be 100, most people. So starting over is going to be done a couple of times in our lives. And, again, I can't stress enough, you can just choose again. You can just, you know, when everything fails us, it's God's way of saying, well, you know, you've been, like, running your life on your own power. How about, you know, the little GPS God-powered system? How about turn it over to God and ask God, okay, why don't you choose some things for me? And see if you put it out to the universe and what the universe might bring you.
I've been trying to think that way.
And it works. It doesn't, you know, it takes a little bit of getting used to it. But I find, you know, I've been doing this for probably 15 or 20 years now, that kind of thinking. It really comes quickly and fast now. And the universe kind of, you know, helps me a lot, brings it, removes obstacles, makes my life a lot easier. But the most important thing is people have to move away from victim consciousness. We're not a victim of these people, you know, and the economy. Just rise above that, you know, dust yourself off, pick yourself up. And your dad said you had a lot of courage when you were a girl, and you need some of that courage now.
I'll work on that. I think I am.
He said you had a lot of courage. You know, you would, you know, fall off your bike, you'd get back on, you know, in a minute. You wouldn't be like, well, now I'm not getting on that bike again. So your dad is a man who, you know, you can ask him for help, too.
Mm-hmm.
He would love to help you. And he has a few apologies for you. Do you know why he would be saying that?
No.
And, you know, was he a very nice man?
Yes, very.
Okay. Very nice men who leave their daughters behind who don't have a man would really like to be here to help. He would be here to help you if he could. You
know,
rake the leaves, do whatever he could. He can help you from above. Soulmate love comes from God and from someone who died, and he promises to bring you a soulmate.
That's nice.
So you call in and let us know when it manifests, will you please?
I will.
And thank you for calling in and sharing your story with us, because and I like talking to your dad. He's very nice. He's thanking me. He's a kind man.
Very, very much so.
You know, the kind people always say thank you to me. Even, you know, sometimes the dead don't say thank you. They're just overwhelmed with the ability to be able to communicate. So sometimes it's not that they don't mean to say thank you, but your dad was clearly saying thank you. I wanted to talk to my daughter very much.
Yeah, I really miss him.
And he misses you, too. So, you know, and he, you know, he's got a big hug and a kiss for you, by the way.
Oh, thank you, Cindy.
And he says, and when you come up here, I have lots of stories about how I helped you. And by the time you die, you're going to hear all the things I did.
Okay.
So, you know, again.
I don't think that's going to be soon, but.
Nah, you're going to be 100. So, you know, he says, I want lots more stories to tell you. Well, good luck to you, and thank you for calling into our show.
Thank you, Cindy.
Okay, bye.
Bye now.
Okay, we have Jody in Smithtown.
Yes, we
do. I remember Jody. Jody is one of the most spirited, fun women.
Jody and I had a nice little conversation. Is
he good to love her?
Oh, my God, she's adorable. She's absolutely adorable, and she's hysterical, too. So, so Jody basically, as you just said, is calling from Smithtown. For those of you who did not catch on to that, she's got a love life question, Cindy, and, you know, she did have that reading with you in August, and she wants to know, Cindy, what else do you have to say?
Okay, good.
Hello, Jody. You're on the air.
Okay, hi, Cindy. How are you?
Hi, Jody. I read so many people that half the time I'm not even remembering who I've read. So
right.
If I do remember somebody from one reading,
yeah.
They have to have a tremendous energy and spirit. And, of course, I remember you because I thought you were one of the, you know, really fun,
well,
spirited.
Nicole had a good laugh, too, because The Love Life is an S show. It's just an S show. And I think we had the reading in August for an hour, and then I emailed you maybe a month or two ago. So I could care less whether you use his name, but you know exactly what I'm talking about and who I'm talking about.
Right.
There is no single man in this picture. It's only everybody else's men. It's just the issue here. It doesn't end. It's a shit show. It really is.
Well, he wants you, but he doesn't want to change his life.
Oh, nobody asked him to.
To happen, and well, again, if you were listening to what we were saying to Jane, the men, you know, they want to fool around. They don't necessarily want to fall in love,
right?
And so, you know, he fooled around, and boy, he's never had a taste of a Queens girl before, because you weren't from. Remember, you weren't from Smithtown. You're not a Long Island girl. So,
right, but you know what? I sent him in September a very nasty text. It was no cursing, and that's a shocker for me. It was to the point. It demeaned him as a man. I told him he was a disappointment as a man and blah, 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 blah. And it was the first time in 2 seconds I've never seen a man pick up a phone and text back, I'm sorry, it was casual. I didn't mean to hurt you. I go, you didn't hurt me. It was just a disappointment. That's what you are. You're an arrogant disappointment. The thing is, then I saw him 2 weeks ago, and he didn't know where to look. But it didn't bother me. But you could see he was so... I got to laugh. When are they going to grow a set in this town? These are men in their 50s. What's wrong?
Well, because they've been allowed to be boys. Remember, we talk about the master-slave archetype. It's not so much men owning women anymore. They're commitment phobics, tell you when you can come close. And they're boys. They want to watch video games, play porn. They don't want to grow up. And,
well, put it this way. If I light one more seduction candle in my apartment or love candle, I'm going to burn this house down because...
Well, Well, you don't have to light any more candles because what's going on here is it looks like... He'll be back and forth for the rest of your life if you allow him, but he's not the one that's showing up in the future. There is a
I know that, but I've nothing to do in the meantime. I'm quite bored because I haven't found a job, so I'm quite bored.
A job is important. So, career-wise, getting that on the track would be important.
I don't have a career, Cindy. I never worked a day in my life. I never had to. So I went to bartending school in August. Obviously, you have to be 24 with a body like a bunny to get a job. But that's all right. I'm waiting for somebody to open up a bar down the block, and they think they're going to give me a chance. So I don't have an issue with that. My main concern is him. Does he think about me?
Yes, he thinks about you. And, of course, that's why he'll be resurfacing. Every couple of weeks, month, whatever, he'll be back and forth.
I keep thinking about him today, like major thinking of him. And I'm wondering when is he going to text.
And it'll be soon. Again, he tries to, control, even if he wanted to see you, he wouldn't allow himself because that's what commitment phobes do. They make sure, they artificially control how close you can get by not seeing you too often. So even if he was dying to see you or missing you as much as, you miss him, he would still make himself...
You know what I told him? He said that a lot of people don't like him and he didn't care. So I told him, well, good. Add one more to the list. Because you're an arrogant, disappointed man. I got like crazy because I'm saying to myself, are you kidding me? Nobody wants you. Nobody wants you. I'm under a microscope. Good for you. Then keep it in your pants. This is my thoughts on the matter. Like, I want to know. Because, like I said, I saw him 2 weeks ago, and everybody stopped and looked because everybody, all my friends know. He didn't know what to do or where to look.
Right. And, of course, he's a little scared that, you're very... sort of vocal woman. In other words, you say what you mean and you mean it. He's a little scared that,
I got bigger set than he does.
Right, and that, you could maybe rock his world if other people know what's going on.
I would never. And he knows that about me. That's the Italian in me where I came. Keep your mouth shut. No, I wouldn't even. I could have screwed him over. I could have been owning his body shop about 6 months ago. What is he, crazy? The text and the papers I got, are you kidding? He knows I could never open my mouth. I just want to know, is he going to call me soon? Because I keep, and it's not that I like him. You know how I feel. I don't like him. He just gets me aggravated.
Well, again, it's just because he's your distraction. You're bored. So,
yes.
He's just something to break the boredom. But
is he going to call?
It looks like he will call soon, probably in the next week or so. So,
I'm feeling?
Right, and it looks like he'll call. He'll be, he'll come around and then he'll be running.
He's going to text again soon, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. So
I thought he was going to text me today. When you get that feeling?
Right, and again, it's very possible he had intended to text you and made himself not do it. So,
why?
Because he doesn't want to get too close to you. He doesn't want to get in something he can't get out of. And he really didn't want to have feelings that he couldn't control.
Why, he had feelings?
Yes, he had feelings.
Well, you said you didn't like him.
I didn't
like him.
Like him. No, I didn't like, excuse me, I didn't like what, the nature of him wanting his cake and eat it too. And I didn't like the fact that, he's a control freak and it's his way or no way. But, and he's immature. He's immature. But
at 50-something, how are you, what? To me, I asked him for nothing. Nothing. I wanted to make everything nice. I asked him for absolutely nothing. Is he not used to somebody being nice to him?
He's not used to women that don't want money or something else. him.
But he is going to call me soon, isn't he?
Yes, he will. So just relax on it. I mean, nothing's going to come of this relationship other than
an occasional
booty
that.
Call.
Yeah, we know that. We know that. And believe me, it wasn't even that good. You could have the biggest shot of all. I already told you. Okay, now, let me ask you this. Do you see another one in the picture?
Yes, that's what I was going to say. I see a very nice man in the picture. And, again, I think you looks like you're going to get a job in a bar or a restaurant. You know, there are bartenders in restaurants.
No, I don't want to do a restaurant. Too many people, and they aggravate me. And I can't work with other women. I don't like them. They don't like me. So that's a given.
But I like you, and Nicole likes you.
I know.
We love you. So, I mean.
No, and the people I'm friends with really like me, but other women just don't. I don't.
Well, because
just,
nobody knows what you look like, but I remember you described, you know, she has these big boobs and this long hair, and she's really a hot number. So, you know, sometimes, you know.
I would attach you a picture of me.
And yeah, good, I would love it. And sometimes, you know, women might get threatened by you, but that's okay.
Yeah, they're going to get threatened by.
But
I'm
we're a new breed of women. Remember,
no,
there are a new breed of women empowering each other. Yes, it looks like you will get a job. And this other man is very close to your age, loving.
There's another man that's calling me that's married.
Well,
he's been calling me for a year. He has asked to come over a few times. I've said no. He enjoys my conversation. He's been saying it. He knows about the other one because everybody knows everybody in town. And I said to him, I can't be bothered with this anymore. And I like talking to him. He's funny. He's an idiot. He's two steps from wearing a helmet. That's what I say. But he is an idiot. But he owns his own business. Another one that's loaded. And he calls almost every day. And I mean calls, not texts. Every once in a while it's a text, but it's mostly phone calls. Now, we went away last week. The day before he went away, he was on the phone with me for an hour. And I said, listen, I don't know what you want from me.
Oh,
his
yes,
name
you
is
do.
Steve, so I'm going to say, you got to tell me what you want from me. You can't. I'm not your psychiatrist. I don't care that you don't like your wife smokes, because I smoke. Well, I don't really care what. Don't complain to me about your wife. If you don't like your situation, get out of it. If not, step up to the plate, grow instead, make up your mind what you want from me. But we will never fool around, and you're never going to talk to me ever again because I'm not having that.
Good for you.
And I'm not having it. Well, after an hour on the phone, because I was just screaming at him because I didn't really care at that point. When I got home, I get a text. I'm in agreement. I promise you I will call when I come home. He's been home since Sunday. I've never heard from him.
Well, you called him on his nonsense, so you may not hear from him very much, but it's
but
better that way.
Friend, and his friend's like, oh, Steve's back. Did he call you? I go, do me a big favor. Stop being his pimp. Get away from me. I'm, like, done with all these men. But who is coming that's is there any single man that wants to get to know me other than
yes,
to
there
do
is. And that's why I said it's good that you rejected the married man, because if you do that, the universe starts saying you want a man who can commit to you. So you've overcome some of your necessary things to overcome. You want a man who's available, and that's what I see here. So.
I don't know. I don't want anybody sleeping over. I don't want to spend every day with them because they'll annoy me.
All right, so you can put that down. Nicole, are you laughing? Okay, you could write down what your ideal soulmate would be like. He has his own separate space. We see each other a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
You know, you could say that. It's, you know, not all soulmates have to live together happily ever
no,
after.
No, but these women, like, they latch on, and like, the man can't breathe. I think I'm a man. I swear to God I was a man in another life because I act like a man when it comes to relationships.
Well, you could be a man in a woman's body in this lifetime. It's very possible. Your true gender could be masculine. There's no doubt about that. We alternate lifetimes as to, you know, sometimes we will be a man, sometimes we will be a woman, but we have a true gender. So
let me
tell you
something. I did, and my man friend said to me, you're like a guy, because I said to the other one, not for nothing, you're so arrogant, I'm not scared to tell you that you're an arrogant prick. That's what you are. You're arrogant, you're a disappointment. Go home, go take lessons from whatever you're supposed to be doing, then get back to me. And that's when I get, oh, I'm sorry? Who says you're sorry?
Well, that's funny. Well, Nicole, do you have anything to add before we wind up Jody's call, Nicole? Because I've been hearing you laughing. Is she not a riot?
She can't. Let the single man, quick.
was just
Well, the other man will be coming, and it's not immediate. It almost looks linked to you getting your job in the whole bit. So get yourself out there. But, you know, don't get discouraged. He exists. He's there for you.
He's going to be able to handle me?
Well, that's what you're going to have to put down. Make sure you get a man who can handle me.
Well, that's one thing that you need to ask for. You need to make sure that he can handle you. Otherwise, they're in for a fucking treat.
We love you, Jody. Jody, do me a favor. Can you get your own TV show? Not a reality show, but one that's like scripted, but around Jody.
Not kidding around. I got about 18 men that are married all over this area that just text and call all the time. And the one that could have the perfect relationship three times a week turned out to be the biggest wuss in the world.
Oh, my God.
Well, we're just going to say that.
I'm coming in and out of your call, Jody, so don't worry. I heard everything, but that's the only thing. That's my only advice right there. Like, when you put it out there for that guy to come, make sure that he can handle you.
Make sure that he can handle you and that he loves you the way that you are and that he loves your honesty and he loves that you're the realest woman that he may ever meet. And what I like about people is when they're profoundly who they are, and Jody is profoundly who she is, and she knows herself, and I love that. I find that the most delightful and delicious combination.
Nicole, I thought talking to you because I thought you were hysterical, and Cindy, you think Willie John's going to text? Because I'm going to email you if he texts me.
Yes, you will. And you text me and let me know. And
you
of course,
you got to call us back too, Jody.
Right, you got to call us back because I'm sure our ratings are going to go right up to skyrocketing with
Stop
Jody.
It. I love listening to your show. No, tell Nicole I love listening to your show because I said, oh crap. What if Nicole gets on the phone and says to me what she said to that woman 2 weeks ago? Get over it. No lie.
Well, she was channeling Dr. Laura. Anybody hear Dr. Laura? Dr. Laura only likes men, and she'll say, well, your husband cheated on you? Well, that's because you weren't a good wife. That's because you weren't sexy. That's because you.
God,
get over it. Men are, you got to get over it. And I'll be like, I want to smack her. So
sometimes we
do allow Nicole to channel Dr. Laura and just to be a little tougher.
It was fun because I was laughing.
No, you know what? It's like I'm not quite like Dr. Laura in that aspect. I mean, you know what? But you know what? My whole thing is this, Jody, okay? It's like, you know what? Sometimes you get, and actually it's not even sometimes, all the time, you get what you put out there. What most people's problems most people, where their error is that they don't realize what they're putting out there.
Listen, Nicole, half the men in town don't know what my face looks like because they can't take their eyes off my boobs.
I swear, you know what? I got to be honest. Cindy,
well,
I'm
Nicole's
telling you right now.
Nicole,
right now,
do you do that?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, good.
I'm telling you,
absolutely not.
You know what it is? I have got pretty big boobs myself, and I always hated that. So, you know what? It's like, no, I definitely don't do that. You know, neither does my girlfriend, you know, unless I want her to, of course. But, you know, but basically, you know, it's like, I'm sorry, I had to go there, you know. But, no, it's like right now, Cindy, it's like talking to my mother, okay? Because you know what, Jody is like the same age as my mom. My mom has got the same gripes about guys as Jody does and everything else. And you know what, it's hysterical. I'm going to tell you, Jody, what I tell her. Sometimes you're not realizing what you're putting out there because even you.
I had a turtleneck on. I was drinking
Wait a minute, Jody. I'm going to hit you with a little bit of realism right about now. Okay?
What?
Even you just said that these guys that are out there, and you said to me both in the chat room as well as on the air tonight, what's wrong with them? There's something wrong with them. They can't keep their eyes off my boobs. So you know what? If you're going into a dating situation or you're going into any situation and you're sitting there going, wow, I wonder if this guy is going to be the one that's going to be looking at my boobs or if he's actually going to look in my face, guess what? You're putting it out there for him to be one of the guys that's looking at your boobs. Instead of mentioning or even thinking that in your head, just put it out there. Just put it out there and say, you know what? This guy is going to look at me in the eye. And leave it alone. Don't mention the boobs. Don't mention anything else.
I'm going to try it tomorrow night. Because last Friday night, my girlfriend and I went out to a nice bar restaurant. And we met a couple. she's a teacher. She's talking to them. And the husband turns around and says to me, oh, I don't cheat. And I said, excuse me? He goes, I don't cheat. I go, oh, okay, good, because I'm going to store that information because I don't think I asked.
Oh, boy.
Well, anyway, we want to try to get another caller, and thank you so much for sharing your story with us. We love it.
Love you. Thank you, and I will leave
you. Jody, good luck tomorrow, honey, and I look forward to your next call.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, honey.
Now, don't you see why I have the best job in the universe? I have, like,
oh
the
my God,
best
she
job.
Is a
I meet,
rip.
I meet the, I have, like, the best clients, and I just enjoy them beyond words. And everybody knows that I love them. I mean, I just love my clients. I just
totally.
And I just like when they're, you know, when they are who they are. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, Jody is absolutely great. But, I mean, like, but Cindy, that, like, that's why, like, you know, because she was laughing with me in the chat room. You know, so, like, you know what? I'm scared that you're going to chime in on one of my calls because usually you chime in on, you know, on those calls, you know? And that's like, you know, so she said that right out there. So I knew I was going to chime in on this one just because she mentioned it, you know? But, you know what? It is true. A lot of people said, you know what? It's kind of like it's – even you said, Cindy, you know, earlier that you've been reading the law of attraction, you know? What? It's funny that you should say that because I've been reading the law of attraction again, you know, because I'm starting to manifest some new things in my life. I want some new things in my life, and whenever I want something new and whenever I want to get myself unstuck, I always go back and I reread it. And you know what? I always pick up on things that you know, that I kind of forget over time, or not even forget, but they just kind of like go drifted off into the back of my head, and it pushes those things into the forefront of my head. And you know what? The biggest thing out there, okay, for everybody that is, you know, trying to use the law of attraction to manifest what they want, it's the whole concept of contrast, okay? It is very good to know the things that you do not want to know, but you cannot give those things energy. And you cannot make assumptions like, well, everybody is like this. Don't overgeneralize. You've got to take every individual to be their individual. And like I said to Jody just now, if she's going into every day thinking, well, this guy's probably just going to be another one that's just going to do this, guess what? That's what you're manifesting. You don't intentionally mean to be manifesting that, but that's what's inadvertently happening because she's focusing too much on the contrast instead of the result. Pick out your result, see the end of your result, and that's what you've put your focus on, not the contrast.
Exactly. And that's why I said, you know, the law of attraction is wonderful to know. There are, of course, you know, don't think that every thought you have, if you have a bad thought, then something bad is going to happen. We don't want to be obsessive. But it's the universe, it's your thoughts, it's your words, and it's your actions. So if you have thoughts that are negative and you can't always control, you can control your words. Don't say it. And don't act it. Let it, you know, live in your head, but don't keep saying it because that every time you say it, then that's another energy.
It's
and if you act upon it, it's another energy. So, you know, if you have a negative thought or if you're thinking it, you know, don't obsess about it. Let it go. But we can watch our words. And I try to be careful with my words in life. I try very hard not to say negative things. I mean, remember we were talking about last night when I was freaking. There were so many people. I wanted to freak out and be negative. And I just heard my spirit guide saying it will work out. It will work out. Do what you can do. It will work out. Instead of bitching and moaning about what I couldn't stop or change, then it changes the energy and you feel a little more empowered and you get on energy that's not yours and you get positive. So I try not to be negative. I try to watch my words very carefully about that, you know. And even if I happen to be tired, and I know I'm going to start getting negative because when we're tired, that's what happens, I try not to speak about it. Just let it go. It'll pass. You know what I mean? But don't dwell on it.
Of course. Never be afraid to just kind of like throw your hands up and look up, you know, and just say, you know what, if there's anybody up there that can help me out, I can use it right about now. And then just leave it alone, you know. Ask for help when you need help, even if it is from above.
Right. And one thing I like to point out is, you know, I will channel Jesus often, and Jesus saying, look, if I had all the answers, would I land on a cross? Come on. Humans are difficult.
That's hysterical.
And that made me laugh because I heard that twice last week. You know, but life is hard. So, you know, you do the best you can, you know. So
being human is hard. This whole thing that they call free will that's supposed to be a blessing can sometimes be a curse.
Exactly, and that's why we are supposed to have our own free will. But if I'm not sure in a situation, I will say, thy will be done, and ask God, look, I don't know how to handle this. So how about your will getting in here and guiding me? So if we're not sure what to do with our own free will, we can ask God to help us. And that works a lot. So, you know, thy will be done is a really good work.
And if you don't believe in God and you don't believe in saying that it's God, you know, if you believe in just an overall higher power, if you believe in the universe, if you believe in nature, if you believe in Allah or Muhammad or give it any name that you want, just ask whatever your higher power is for that help.
And that's a very important point. I mean, even when I wrote Grant Me a Higher Love, I used the word God. And you know, anybody who knew me in my younger days, I was pretty agnostic, if not atheist, from probably 17 to probably 41. So you would never hear me utter the words God, ever. Not even close to it. So I'm not so comfortable
well,
with the word God because,
you
know, it has a lot of negative connotation to it. But I felt, well, it is a word people can relate to, but if you're more comfortable with the universe, higher power, whatever it is, you know, give it that name. Just don't let the word God sometimes scare you off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't let it, like, be one of those. So, again, I really meditated long and hard, you know, what word to use in my book. I would use universe often, higher power, God. I would alternate words,
yes,
you know, that would make me comfortable. And, again, you know, that's why I said, you know, if anybody knew me in my younger days, I was much more negative, victim consciousness, no real spiritual belief system. So I tell people, you know, we change in time and, you know, if we allow ourselves to. And, you know, just because we think one thing one day doesn't mean we have to think it 10 years from now.
No, so nothing is permanent.
Be open in your thoughts and, you know, that's why I think the clients that I have coming to me are highly intelligent. They're intrigued and they're very skeptical, but they're interested, you know. So that
mm-hmm.
would describe me because I'm pretty skeptical in many ways. Well, I know that we have a woman in Queens, and this is a good one.
Oh, yes, this is a very good one.
And we saved the best for last.
Oh, absolutely, you know. So just to set you up a little bit, Cindy, for our listeners here, we are going to speak to Tovan right now, okay? And, yes, she is out in Queens, and she's got a question about her husband. Now, unfortunately, Tovan has caught her husband cheating on her, not once, Cindy, but twice. And, in fact, the most recent account where she believes she caught him cheating was today. She caught him in the car with this girl. Now, she wants
to
know.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, exactly. No. Well, he's basically saying that they're only friends, you know, and he's giving her that, you know. He keeps trying to, you know, to just, you know, reassure her that you know, they're only friends and blah, 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 blah. But she wants to know, What is in his head right now, Cindy? And did he actually do it, you know, or, you know, does she have any reason to believe him? Or should she just do what her gut is telling her to do at this point? Because,
I love
you know,
the word
she,
you say
she
gut.
Wants to, oh, yeah.
I love
well, because
the
you know
gut.
What? I made a point to ask her. I said, Tovan, I said, what exactly, after she gave me the scenario, I said, what is the question here, though? Is the question what you should do about it? Is the question what is in his head? Or is the question, you know, are you looking for validation that what you're thinking in your head is, in fact, going on? And her words to me were, no, I actually caught him. And I just want to make sure that, you know, that is what it is. She goes, and I already know what I should do, but I want to know what's going on with him. So, she already has that gut feeling, Cindy, and I'm hoping that something in the cards is gonna kind of soften this blow for her and encourage her to do, you know, what is going to be right for her in the long run so that she has a very, very, you know, happy life, you know, from this point on. So, let's see what the cards say for her. We're going to go speak to Tovan in Queens. Hello, Tovan, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
How are you? And actually, Tovan, I don't know what just happened, but I just lost Cindy as I picked you up.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I hate it when this happens because you know what? for as many times as I prepare to lose Cindy on the air, it never happens when I prepare for it. It always happens when I'm not prepared for it. So I'm sure that Cindy's going to be calling in momentarily now that she's realized that she's lost us. So what I'm going to have you do right now while I'm waiting for her to chime back in is why don't you give our listeners a little bit of history? I know that you caught your husband cheating twice. Now, did this happen? How long ago did it happen? And what exactly did you catch him doing?
This has been going on for a good 2 years now. I found text pictures sent to him from her, missed messages. He even wrote to her that he loves her and he misses her. But then he tries to blame it that he was intoxicated. He didn't know what he was doing. He's just full of it. I mean, he's telling me that they're only friends and that he loves me and we just have interests together. I like talking to her and there's nothing going on. But yet something told me this morning, get up and go where she lives. To my shock, I saw his truck turning around the corner while he was supposed to be upstate hunting, but he was with her for 2 days.
Oh, my goodness.
And I got there and caught him. And he's still in denial. And he goes to me, oh, he promised her. I go, what the fuck is going on? You promised her what? What, are you friends with her? She's not your family. She's not your sister. And this bitch has been telling me so many things. I mean, I spoke to her before. And then, you know, everything subsided a little bit, but yet my gut feeling told me, get up and go. Get up and go. And you know what? I caught him. She was in the car with him.
Oh, wow.
She was in the car.
Wow.
And now what should I believe? What he's telling me is true or what I believe to be true?
Okay. Well, you know, well, I am not Cindy, so, you know, so it's harder for me to give you, you know, that kind of psychic advice that you might be, you know, that you are seeking at this point. And I am still
Hello, Nicole. Hello, Nicole.
Oh,
can you hear me?
Oh, there you go, Cindy.
Oh, my goodness.
Thanks,
I got blasted right off of Blog Talk Radio. So,
you
know, I mean, all of a sudden...
It wasn't just you, because as Tovon was speaking, I saw a number of our callers start dropping like flies, and then their numbers would appear again, and before they were even able to accept the call queue, they dropped back off as soon as I accepted them into the queue. So, it wasn't just you. Blog Talk right there just had like a little bit of a hiccup.
Well, I couldn't get through with my regular phone, so I had to go find my cell phone, and I didn't know where it was.
I'm happy that you're back.
Okay, no, I didn't, but you can, I will tell you this without her saying one word and that I didn't hear, that when our gut tells us someone's cheating, we don't have to wait till we get venereal disease. Our gut is never wrong. And he's a pretty pathological liar, by the way, the man
that
you're with. And that... you know, it's like, you know, when you have one mouse in a house, the expression is you probably have 100. When you catch someone cheating once, it's probably not been the first time, but they didn't get caught before. And first of all, you know, Nicole and I did a radio show on cheating years ago, and it was like, what's cheating? Well, do you think he's supposed to have women friends that he sits in the car with? I mean, is that considered cheating to you? Tovon, are you there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think he's with her, definitely.
Exactly. And he's not going to tell you the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And why should he? Think about it. It makes sense. People lie out of fear. If he tells you the whole truth, nothing but the truth, he's going to lose you. If there's a shadow of the doubt, he's hoping you're still the same naive woman who will give him the benefit of the doubt. But know that, you know, he can't always control his behavior, this man. You know, it's not that he doesn't care about you. That's not the question here. But he wants his cake and eat it, too. Have you figured that out?
Oh, sure, definitely.
How long have you been with him?
I've been with him 15 years. We've been friends for close to 19 years.
Right, because relationships work in five-year cycles. Mm-hmm. Now, God is trying to get you to know 19 on to 20. This is either fixed or you're leaving it, but don't trust him. I mean, this is a man who wouldn't know the truth if it bit him in the butt. He doesn't want to lose you. He doesn't want the relationship to end. But, you know, he's an emotional cripple. He's a boy. He's not a man. Have you figured that out?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, but now, I know, in fact, that he did cheat on me. I mean, seeing them together today just validated that. And yet
right,
he's still denying it.
Now, that's because narcissists mm-hmm. believe their lies. And they believe if they keep saying a lie long enough, it becomes truth. And they believe they can break you down. They will never admit the whole truth, nothing but the truth, under oath. I mean, he could pass a lie detector test. He says it, and it's true. That's in his mind. He's mm-hmm. never going to tell you the truth. And what you're supposed to learn from this is if your gut tells you people are lying, they're lying. And don't expect him to tell you the truth, because he's always hoping if you don't really know, he can come back in your life. He could be in your life. Whose father has passed away, yours or his?
Mine.
Okay, because your dad is saying, I made sure you saw him in there. I made sure that you saw with your own eyes what he was up to.
I know, and I had that gut feeling this morning, and something told me to go.
And that the gut feeling.
That's your dad telling you to go.
And that's what they do. They pop thoughts in our head, say, go now. Go now. Go look now. See it. And most people who get caught cheating because they're, you know, older souls, and you're a very good person, don't check up on people. It's not part of their nature. So the older souls have to have a dead person say, look at the cell phone, look at the computer, go down the block and look. And your dad said, over his dead body, is this man going to bring you venereal disease? Because that woman that he's sleeping with would sleep mm-hmm. with anything.
I'm sure she does.
And your dad is saying, consider her your best friend, because maybe you need, this is what you need to walk away and move on without guilt, without feeling bad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, use it as, you know, a reason to move on. He can't turn around and say you're a bad person and push your guilt buttons. But your dad is saying he's been giving you feelings for a little while now that something's not kosher. Did you get that for a while now?
Yes, I did. And you know what? I definitely don't trust him. He's a liar. He looked straight in my face. I mean, I opened the door for him. I told him, leave. I don't know why he's not leaving.
Because he doesn't
want to
leave. He wants his cake and eat it too.
No, it ain't going to work that way. Not anymore. Seeing them together definitely validated that, and I caught him, and I confronted them. And he still denies it.
And you needed to call here today because your dad wanted you to say, I'm the one who's been watching over. I'm the one who's asking you to make a situation better for yourself. And, you know, you would never have left him because you're loyal to a fault. But you're being loyal mm-hmm. to a man who doesn't deserve your loyalty. First of all, forgetting him for a moment because we know who he is. Mm-hmm. Leaving him opens up the chariot, a five-year period in which anything you want is yours. By time you, when's your birthday, by the way, just the month and the day?
April 9th.
April?
April 9th. Okay,
by time you get to April 9th, you're going to have peaceful thoughts. You're going to be standing on your own two feet strong, opening way for a new relationship with a man who will love and cherish you. But this man isn't going to make it easy. He's going to torture you, push your guilt buttons. He's going to say he's going to kill himself if you leave him. He's going to pull it off, okay?
I don't care.
Can ask him if he wants a gun, a noose, or a knife. Knock himself out here. It's not your responsibility to keep him alive. He will try every game of manipulation to see which one he can get you on. And you can just say to him, I don't expect you to tell me you're cheating because, you know, you think that you'll get away with it. And then he may come and tell you a little bit of truth. Now he's going to, this is the new one. Then he'll say, yeah, okay, I was with her, but I'll never do it again. Just because he tells you a little bit of truth doesn't mean you have to forgive him.
Yeah, I'm not going to forgive him. You know what? I don't think it's the first time.
It isn't. I will tell you that much with him. You've been busy in your life. Busy people sometimes just don't notice what's going on. They're busy working. They're busy doing what they're supposed to be doing. They don't have time to be looking for trouble. But know that your life will be a lot better and that you were meant to call in tonight to hear that, you know, the universe will help you get out of this. If you choose to stay, as many women do, then don't play victim. I tell women, well, you're not going to change a cheater. He is who he is. So,
yeah.
You know, if you can live with that, that's your choice. I mean, some people can live with it. But if you stay once you know a man cheats, it's a very good recipe for cancers or autoimmune disorders because you'll stuff from so much anger, you'll get sick. So,
yeah, I
know.
And so, I made myself sick over this. And you know what? I confronted her, too, and I told him, you know, why don't you just tell me the truth? And, you know, even her. I mean, he's ridiculous. I told him, leave. I opened the door for him. I couldn't go. Be happy. And yet he still chooses to stay.
Well
you know,
because
just,
he wants his cake and eat it, too. That's nothing new.
Yeah.
That's as old as history. That's the oldest trick in the book. You know, first of all, she's not going to be so much fun without you. So, you know, and he's going to realize, first of all, she's crazy. And know that for you, you've had some hard lessons to learn. But mainly it's when enough is enough. You had enough.
Yeah.
You had enough. And, you know, it's very hard for women to learn to stand on their own 2 feet. And you might feel, you know, scared. And, you know, it's part of the collective thinking of women to think any man, deaf, dumb, blind, lame, stupid, cheating, son of a bitch, is better than standing on their own 2 feet. No, we're better off standing on our own 2 feet.
Yeah, bad timing, too. I lost my job and...
Don't think he doesn't know that. Don't you think he doesn't know that? Now he's thinking she can't afford to leave, so this is a good time for me to cheat because I can be the big master and she can't leave. And what you're going to tell God is, I'm not running a prostitute archetype. I'm not staying with a man for money. So you get me another job and get me a good one and quick. And that's what you need. But don't think it's bad timing. He knows you're not in a position to leave.
No, I'm
shows
not leaving.
You his
he
character.
Is.
But it shows you his character. He thinks you need him.
Yeah,
and he's just getting you at a moment of weakness. Again, nothing is bad in your cards. A job looks good. You'll move forward. Yeah, this is what it is, okay? It is what it is. It's going to be history. And you, believe me, a year from now, you'll be so happy that you've moved on. But don't let him, you know, try to push all your guilt buttons. And he'll turn around and say, well, it's your fault. You've been depressed. You haven't been the same. I need somebody to talk to. Don't let him blame it on you. I'll tell people, if your mate's not talking to you or if they're going through a hard time, will you tell them what you need? Don't cheat because and blame them. If you don't tell people what's wrong, they can't change and they can't fix it.
The best one, he tells me that he has, you know, erectile dysfunction, and you know I can't have sexual relationships, you know.
Oh, boy, really?
Oh, come
on. Yeah, really.
Well,
I don't know what the hell. Sometimes I think he has split personalities and bipolar or something wrong.
No, I just think he's stupid.
Yeah, he is stupid.
I just think he's dumber than a donkey right now. But,
yeah, and,
you know,
he took off, you know, 2 days ago upstate to go hunting. And
Are you sure he went hunting?
I don't know. Whatever it was, he tells me he came all the way from upstate 3 a.m. and picked her up and brought her yesterday. He wasn't with her 2 days.
Yes, sure. Okay, now who believes that? Come on.
Yeah, who believes that?
Who believes that? Come on.
Give me a break.
People are such a riot. It's like in kindergarten already.
I can't believe the shit that comes out of his mouth. But just
know that 7 out of 10 people lie, and they lie a lot. So it's not unusual for people to lie, but it's for us to call him on it. And he's never going to validate. He's never going to tell you the truth. And if he does, he's manipulating you now. He thinks that'll get you back. So no matter what he does, it's going to be manipulation.
Yeah.
And it's going to be lies. And, you know, he'll get himself sick. Now I'm sick. You can't leave. Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Let her go wipe his butt and take care of him while he's sick. You know?
Exactly.
I know. Good.
We are at the end of our show, and thank you for calling in. I'm sorry about the technical difficulties. And,
okay. Thank you for coming back on the air.
Call in if you need a little bit of like love and strength, call in.
I will.
Absolutely.
I will.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And so, Ben, what I was going to tell you right before Cindy got on, just before that, when I was going to give you what I thought about it, all I'm going to tell you is I was going to give you a quote, okay? Now, Dr. Joyce Brothers said this, okay? And her answer when it came down to instinct and hunches was trust your hunches. Hunches are usually based on the facts that are filed away just below the conscious level. Don't confuse your hunches with wishful thinking, because that's the road to disaster, but trust those hunches that you get. So you've already told me that you know in your gut what you need to do. Now all you need to do at this point is muster up enough courage to do it. Because if you
do, you
will be successful.
Oh, I am. I definitely will. I'm on fireball now.
We love that. We love that. And your father said, boy, I lit that fire under you. Get you moving. And, you know, we, with a little help from our friends on earth and in heaven, we managed to do what we need to do.
Yes, we do.
Good luck to everybody. And we'll speak to you all next week.
Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Nicole, thank you for, manning the ship when mine sunk, you know?
Well, you know what? Let me just say something, Cindy. I was just telling Tovan, too, that, you know what? I prepare, on occasion, I do prepare myself a little script for the show just in case we have technical difficulties. And we only have technical difficulties when I don't prepare myself a script.
But, you know, you already knew how to handle her. I'm sure I'm going to listen to the show in the archives.
You know what that is? I'll tell you right now what that is. That is me not trusting my instincts, and that is the universe saying, oh, you're going to prepare for it? We're not going to give you that option now. Go with your gut. And that's exactly what that is, you know?
I think my spirit guide said, don't worry, we'll channel through Nicole. You're not here. Don't worry about it.
There we go. You're good. Well, listen, Cindy, as always, you did a wonderful job, and now you need to go and get some rest. You've had a hell of a couple of days. Go rest and be with that husband of yours. Tell him I said hello, and thank you to all of our listeners who joined us this evening. We will talk to you next week.
Well, when I finish my next two readings after that, I'll relax.
Oh, Jesus, Cindy.
Okay,
you need a vacation. Bye-bye.
Bye.